Welcome back to the Commission Podcast. My name's Adam. I run the media and comms here at Commission. And I'm with Sam Gibb, pastor of Hope Church, Vauxhall. Hi, Sam.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Good to see you again.
The sun is out. We have dipped into spring, officially. I tentatively say that because we all know how it is here. But it's looking pretty nice outside.
I didn't wear a coat this morning.
Oh, fantastic.
So no coats.
Love that. It's sunny outside. We're at Hope Church, Vauxhall right now, recording in the office. I've brought an almond croissant and a coffee with me, and we've shared that in preparation for this podcast.
We just halved the croissant.
That's it. Just for sanitary reasons and let everybody know. Yes. We got a good one for you today with Neil Powell. Neil co-runs the London Project with Girma, who's unfortunately unable to be with us. But we want to get right into this one, so enjoy.
I'm here with Neil Powell. Neil, welcome. Neil is the co-director of the London Project. And you're co-director with Girma, who's sadly not able to be with us. He's in Ethiopia.
He absolutely is in Ethiopia, enjoying the sunshine.
Where we would all like to be.
Indeed.
Tell us a little bit about the London Project. Just briefly, we'll kind of discuss this a bit more later, but what is the London Project? What does it mean to be the co-director of the London Project?
Yeah, the London Project is an initiative that has its origins in the ministry of Tim Keller in New York City, and the organization Redeemer City to City. And they asked me back in about 2018 whether I'd consider coming to London to work with church leaders, in particular evangelical leaders within the city of all different streams and traditions and denominations, really with a view to uniting, strengthening, and multiplying the church in London. So to really serve the local church here in London.
Amazing. And we'll talk more about what that looks like. But you're also part of a co-mission church now. You've moved to London. Where are you worshipping?
That's right. Worship at Christ Church Mayfair. And to sit under the ministry of Matt Fuller. I remember him becoming a Christian at the University of Birmingham a very long time ago when I was a UCCF staff worker there.
Amazing. What a story. And you also became a Christian at university, but not in Birmingham, in London. Is that right?
That's right. I grew up in Birmingham, but moved to London to do a business degree. So I would have called myself a God-fearer. I think I would have called myself a Christian, actually, but I had no idea why anyone would think Good Friday was a Good Friday. I knew nothing of the gospel. But a friend in my hall of residence invited me along to a church with him. It turned out to be a church called St. Helens Bishopsgate.
Yep.
I went happily with him. Couldn't understand why there were so many young people in a church building, and the Bible was opened, and I began to encounter Jesus. And I think I was low-hanging fruit because I did believe in God, in a sense, and in Jesus, but no one had ever really explained the gospel to me. So over a number of weeks and going along with my friend to something called Read, Mark, Learn, where we were working through Mark's gospel in the middle of the week, probably within a couple of months, I came to faith. So yeah, my first couple of months living in London as a new student came to faith and just got stuck in. And then he, the guy who had taken me along to church, also then started a Christian Union. There wasn't one at the university that we were at, and he started Christian Union. So I just threw my lot into that, reaching out to our friends. We saw a few people converted quite early on in starting that work, including some of our friends. And yeah, I look back on those days very, very fondly.
Amazing. Praise God for the way that he uses friends, invitations, just those simple things of, yeah, someone just going about their kind of ordinary Christian life, chatting to a mate, inviting them to church.
So.
And then the fruit of that in your life personally is amazing. But then yeah, what the Lord has taken you to do. Tell us a little bit about kind of moving back from London to Birmingham. What brought you back to Birmingham, took you back to Birmingham?
Well, that same friend also introduced me to Jane, who would become my wife.
Nice.
Isn't
Amazing.
That great? I owe him so much.
You do.
And wedding day, Jane and I got married in London. It was our last day living in London.
Oh, wow.
We were away on honeymoon and then straight back from honeymoon to Birmingham, where I was starting to work with UCCF, working with Christians on campus, helping them reach their friends. I loved working with students. I loved sharing with them in going to reach their friends for Jesus. Because I was a product of student evangelism. And so I did that for 4 years. And we stuck there. We stayed there ever since. We became accidental, and I would say somewhat reluctant, church planters.
Amazing.
because we were working with students, we were seeing them come to faith. But back then, and this is now 30 years ago, there were really not many evangelical churches centered on the Bible that were outward looking and creating a culture in which folk within the churches felt comfortable and ready to bring their friends along to church to hear about Jesus. And with the help from some friends, and particularly with a nudge from David Jackman, who said to us, I think you guys maybe need to just start something. We did in 1999. So this was 6 years having gone back to Birmingham, working for UCCF. I started to work for this brand new church that we started in someone's front room. We were 13 when we began. And because Birmingham, city of a million and more people, really needed a number of good Bible teaching, outward looking churches, it wasn't long. It didn't take much for Christians who I think had been maybe a members of those, belonged to those kind of churches elsewhere, and thought, where is that in Birmingham? And they'd been waiting for someone to start something. And I think we just happened to be the people, the right people at the right time. I don't think we did anything particularly special. Birmingham just needed it, and we were ready to give it a go. So it grew quite quickly. And within a couple of years, we were sort of 200 or so in the church, quite a number of students as well. But we were also beginning to find young men and young women who were ready to go into ministry themselves and loved not just trying to grow Christians, but also then trying to identify gospel workers and send them on further afield. And they're far and wide now.
Amazing. I remember when we, maybe when we first met, listening to you speak at a conference or a church planting thing, and you talked about churches of a whole range of different kind of backgrounds and cultures and denominations, but all evangelical, all seeking to work together to plant churches. Sometimes churches planting churches together, sometimes churches sending people to another church to help a specific church plant a church, but all discussing, all meeting together. That was a thing. Was that a thing initiated by you and the guys at City Church, or like where did that come from?
Yeah, no, thank you. So we started our church in 99. Yep. 5 years in, we met a guy called Al Barth, who works for Redeemer City to City, had worked with Tim Keller's organization, and he was in the UK. He was actually at the Evangelical Ministry Assembly. We bumped into him in a coffee queue, and he got chatting and said, I'm really interested to hear what you're about. He was there to meet church planters and to think, is there anything that we can do to help you to grow a healthy gospel church and to plant more healthy gospel churches? And so a friendship was formed. And Al said, why don't you come to New York and meet some other church planters from different parts of the world who are also trying to plant in urban contexts in particular, and to see little church planting movements established. So we met him in 2004. He then extended that invitation. So for a few years, I would visit and meet with other church planters there in New York.
And that was part of the city to city.
It then became from Redeemer.
Okay, that became City to City.
That's
right. Amazing.
At that time, it was just called the Redeemer Church Planting Center. It was just kind of an extension of the church, if you like. And then later it would become what's now City to City, working in countries right across the world. So we were meeting, getting ideas. There was nothing really in print. There was no book. We now have something called Center Church, which Tim Keller wrote, where many of the ideas that we were learning through meeting with leaders there were being formed in us. And one of the ideas that really captured my heart and mind was to have a concern for the city rather than just a concern for my part of the city. So to have what we would now call a city vision or a city consciousness. And what that does, I think, is it impresses on your heart and mind that no matter how well your particular church might be going, and we were being incredibly blessed by the Lord, there were many parts of the city where there was little gospel witness. And we ought to prayerfully consider, could we go to those parts of the city and help see things happen there? And that gave us a sense of, well, if we don't go and maybe try and start something, who else is going to do it? Why should we leave it to others? So the burden for the city led us to think, could we church plant around the city? But then the other piece of the DNA that City to City, as it's now called, was giving us was not just this city consciousness, but this idea of working as a gospel movement within a city. And really, a gospel movement is that coming together of different churches, all evangelical churches, but different gospel churches of different flavors and different denominations who might come to the conclusion, I think we're going to be better equipped and able to reach this city if we work together than if we try and work in isolation. So that was the other piece that City to City in Al Bath was sort of teaching and impressing upon me. So having, by God's grace, seen our own church grow, and we'd managed to plant a daughter church 6 or 7 years after we started, we planted that. We then thought, could we gather some other like-minded churches, maybe churches that we'd never previously worked with, or could even be a little, not sure whether we're going to get on, but could we just meet each other? And I now look and think what happened in sort of 2007 to 2008 was we just began to make some friends in the city.
Yeah.
And when strangers become friends, well, anything becomes possible because you overcome the suspicions, the yep. fears, the just lack of knowledge of what another church is doing in the city and whether or not that's good news for the gospel and for the city. And we made some friends and we realized, you know, we've got far more in common than I'd realized. And we love Jesus. We love this city. We believe it needs many more churches to reach this city. Maybe we could never plant a church together, but could we help each other plant healthy gospel churches? Mm. So we began something called 2020 Birmingham in 2009. And it was led by myself, a reformed conservative evangelical with a reformed charismatic Christian man called Jonathan Bell. It was then called New Frontiers, the movement.
Yeah.
And Jonathan and I actually had never even met each other in the 10 years or so that we'd been living in the city.
And how far away were your churches?
Oh, no more than 2 miles, the same part of the city, the southwest part of the city. We knew of each other by name. We knew that we were church planting churches, ministry to students, Bible teaching churches. You know, his expository ministry looked in many ways quite like mine. And we just hadn't made the time to reach out to each other. When we did, we clicked and we decided let's work together. And so we decided we'd enter into really what was a 10-year commitment. We said, look, it was then 2009. We said, why don't we look prayerfully and consider trying to plant 20 churches together within the next 10 years by the year 2020?
And?
Well, by God's grace, and despite a lockdown in 2020, we reached the number in about that year, 2020. And I think when we started, we had a sense of where, I don't know, 5 or 6 of those churches might come from.
Yeah.
But what we found was that God just brought leaders to the city and they heard of this thing, 2020 Birmingham. And they thought, well, if you're ready to help me plant a gospel church, I'd love to be part of this. And we said, yeah, if you love Jesus and you love this city and you want to plant a gospel church to reach people who otherwise aren't going to hear, we're ready to help you. And you don't have to pay us anything. You don't have to join. It's not going to be a formal kind of network. It's going to be a network of friends. And we found an Ethiopian taxi driver. Just, can you help me start a church? Mm-hmm. We helped a Mexican asylum seeker start a Spanish-speaking church. We helped a Romanian pastor who had done some theological training here and just saw how many Eastern Europeans were in the UK and wanted to see if he could reach Eastern Europeans for Christ from Birmingham. And in different ways, we just helped a number of leaders who found themselves in the city. We helped them meet each other. We helped them form friendships so they didn't feel quite so isolated. And then we provided occasional training and support and occasionally a little bit of money that we could raise for them. And we saw these churches begin to become established and the 2020 project to sort of reach its sort of first milestone in that year, 2020, despite lockdown.
Yeah. It's amazing to hear the way that God uses the kind of the organic, the accidental, the intentional, all kind of together. So yeah, from a conversation at a conference in a queue with a guy who sends you to the States to then kind of training and learning and thinking about gospel and city and movements and that sort of thing to then the kind of realization that I don't even know this guy who's just up the road from me, the relationship building there, and just a friendship that starts, that then kind of creates this wonderfully, but yeah, both kind of intentional and organic movement of churches all reaching the same city. Yeah,
amazing. Without wanting to claim too much, it just seems like New Testament Christianity. It sounds a little bit, so I don't want to overstate it, but a little bit like the Book of Acts, where Paul was very intentional about where he was going to go, but sometimes God opened doors, sometimes he closed doors, he would meet people, and things happened.
What does that then mean for a network that's narrower, like Commission or the FIC or one of those other networks that's a bit tighter on some of those theological things?
Yeah, it's a big question. I've written a book to help answer that a little bit.
Well, there you go. I didn't actually know that. That wasn't an intentional plug for the book, but here we go.
So Together for the City addresses some of that, because lots of folks say, well, how do you decide who you can work with, and what about networks and denominations, and then what you're calling these city movements, how do they relate to one another? So we've tried to address that a little bit in the book, but quite simply, I think my mindset is that I think as I read through the Gospels and as I read through the New Testament, the gospel itself puts me under an obligation to work with anyone on earth who I expect to spend eternity with in heaven.
Yeah, that's great.
Am I ready to work with anyone on earth who I expect to spend eternity with in heaven? And that, if I start with that framework and that mindset, then I start to get curious and interested in wherever I sense God to be at work within my particular town or village or city or wherever else it might be. So that's my first sort of posture of, I'm curious about who else is here and what they're doing. And someone I may not know actually might be an extraordinary blessing to me and my ministry. And who knows, I might be able to help them, even though we don't know each other and haven't met. Who knows what can happen over a cup of coffee if a friendship forms and develops. Jonathan Bell and I ended up working together for 10 years. Yeah. But although I may have that mindset of I'm ready to work with whoever God has put here in the city, I also believe that we work with differing churches to differing degrees on differing issues because of matters of conscience or theological beliefs, particularly on what we sometimes call secondary issues, such as our view of ecclesiology, our ecclesiology, how churches are led and structured, or our view of the sacraments, the Lord's Supper, and particularly maybe baptism. And that might mean I might really recognize someone else as a really dear brother, but because our view of how church leadership functions or our view on baptism is different, it means we couldn't actually ever start a church together.
Yeah.
Because we would just disagree as to what that church should look like and how it should be led. And those are matters of conscience that are dearly held. So I think we need to belong to what we might call denominations or more theologically tighter networks, where we meet and work directly with those who share those same values, share those same convictions theologically on some of those secondary issues. But it doesn't mean I can't also find ways to work with churches that I may disagree with on some things, but I could still help them in what God has called them to do in the city. So I want to say it's a both and answer, not an either or. So I know lots of folk who are part of FIC who also chose to be part of 2020 Birmingham or are now relating to the London project. And they say, yeah, both organizations or both sort of network of relationships are serving me in slightly different but complementary ways.
That's really helpful. Thanks, Neil. Just, I guess, a nice segue there into your move from Birmingham to London. How did that come about? You were settled, things were going well, the church planting stuff had really kicked off there, family were settled, kids, you got two boys, kids are at school. So big shift to move the whole family from Birmingham down to London. What was the call there? What was the Lord doing in that period of your life to bring you down to London?
Yeah, thanks. I think we always said it would take something really quite exceptional for us to want to move away from a church family that we loved and many, many friends that had been formed. So I led that church along with some other guys for over 20 years, and there's still many of them are still there in Birmingham. And I knew it would have to be something, a nudge from the Lord. Can I just put it that way? I didn't have itchy feet. I didn't want to go anywhere. We thought we could well be there for the rest of our lives. But the same guy, Al Barth, that I bumped into at the Evangelical Ministry Assembly, took me for a meal back in 2018 and said, look, some of the skills that you've really learned and developed over these years in Birmingham, where you found ways to work across the denominations and networks and bring Christians and leaders into meaningful partnership with each other that has really blessed them and their churches. We wonder whether you would think about trying to develop similar kinds of relationships and similar kind of opportunities in London. But if you were to do that, because I mean, London is the same size as the next 19 cities of the UK put together. It's a beast. It's just enormous, and it's super diverse and super complex and big. They said, what you were doing in Birmingham, 2020 Birmingham, you were doing alongside pastoring a local church. We don't think you could do that in London. It's just too big. But the opportunities are incredible. So basically, they were asking me to go from being a player to a coach.
Nice.
So I'd have to retire that regular church leadership and pulpit ministry and all the rest of it, and now decide to give really the remaining years of ministry to not leading a local church, but working really with the next generation of leaders like you, who are much younger than me. And that was the decision. Would I give up leading a local church to work with church leaders here in London? And that's prayerfully what Jane and I thought the Lord was calling us to. And we're now 3.5 years into having stepped back. So again, I preached my last sermon at City Church under lockdown, May 2020. And it was a very surreal experience saying goodbye to a church you'd led for 20, started and led for 20 years, saying goodbye on a Zoom call to lots of friends. So after the lockdown had ended, we had a party and a proper goodbye later on. But yeah, we've been now working with the London Project for 3.5 years.
So tell us what the London Project does.
We say in a sentence, what we exist to do is to work with leaders, church leaders in London, to unite, strengthen, and multiply the church. Coming from Birmingham, where there hadn't been a lot of church planting really in my lifetime there, moving to London, we discovered actually an enormous amount of activity here. People had come from all over the world and started churches in the city of London. It would be an exaggeration to say we were tripping over church planters, and please don't hear me saying there isn't a need for more church planting. There absolutely is. But what we were doing was we were discovering and finding lots of next generation leaders who were maybe 2, 5, 10 years into leading their churches. And they were coming from every part of the world. We were meeting leaders from South America. We were meeting leaders from Africa, South Asia, the Far East, and who knows, everywhere. And we discovered really that for many of them, it was quite a lonely experience. And they felt quite isolated in leadership. And many of the migrant church or diaspora church leaders really didn't know what the host nation and the historic church here in London thought of them. There was just no connection whatsoever. They felt very much on the margins. And I kept bumping into leaders who I thought, you are doing amazing things in this city. You've got stories to tell. You've got so much to bring to the historic church that is here. So really what we've tried to do is, as the London Project, and there are only 4 of us working for the project, is we try to meet as many leaders. So I think in this last year, 2023, we've met 300 leaders. Right. And often that will be one-to-one over coffee and lunch, and just ask them questions. Just be curious. You know, what has God put on your heart to do? How is that going? What's working? What's not working? And then our final question might be, is there any way in which we can help you? So we connect with those leaders. And then what we try to do is to try to convene them together into meaningful relationships with other leaders in London. So we have the time and the capacity, not just to meet people, but then to think, oh, who would it be really worthwhile for them to meet? And we try to arrange those meetings so that these two church planters in London who previously didn't know each other but had the same vision, maybe it would be for estates ministry, maybe it would be for reaching a particular people group, who knows, but to bring them together so that they could make a friendship and out of that friendship begin to learn together what ministry in London looks like for the next 10 or 20 years. So we connect with leaders, we convene leaders, and then we just try to facilitate the relationships between them for co-creation. In other words, what might God do by bringing different networks together or different leaders in a borough of London together and see what might happen?
So Neil, with that kind of amazing broad experience of different meeting different church leaders, visiting different churches and seeing different contexts of what the gospel, what's Christianity, what the church looks like in London and also in Birmingham, what might be some, I guess, advice that you might give to the kind of the everyday Christian, maybe part of the Co-Mission network, whose experience of churches is limited perhaps to their particular culture? Would there be anything that you'd say to them about that?
I think we have the privilege of living at a unique moment in history, which of course, in one sense, everybody does, because every moment is unique. But what I think I mean by that is London now is the most diverse city, not just in the world today, but probably the most diverse city in the history of humanity. We have something like 320 languages spoken here. We know that 4 in 10 Londoners are born overseas. And the cultural and ethnic diversity that we now have in London is unparalleled. And that is both an opportunity and a challenge. It's an opportunity because now we know from Acts 17, God determines the exact times and places where people will live, that God is moving people around the world and bringing the world into one city. And I think that's incredibly exciting because we can reach the world by reaching London. Mm. London is a mission field. It's also a mission force. Nice. And if we can learn how to manage and navigate relationships between Christians, not just of different theological positions, but different cultural and ethnic traditions, we can perhaps model both to the city of London and to the wider church that God loves unity and diversity. And that the picture of the new creation, which is every tribe, nation, people, and tongue gathered together around the throne, can in some sense be anticipated in the relationship between individual Christians and churches in this city of London. But that means for many of us, we've got to develop new skills, both as believers and as churches and as leaders. And part of that skill is to learn how to relate wisely and well to Christians of different nationalities with different experiences who have found themselves living here in the city of London. So one of the things I love to do is bring together diverse groups of Christians to really listen to one another of their experience of the Lord, what it means for them to know and love Jesus, and what it means for them to be now in this city of London, wherever God has brought them from around the world, and to be ready to give and receive in those conversations. I find just the experience of meeting believers who are quite different from me is, in the first instance, quite scary, but actually so rewarding, because God gives me an insight into my own faith by meeting with a Christian who maybe has had a very different upbringing, or has had to leave a country because of persecution. Or like my friend Germa, I lead a London project with him. His experience was of coming to London as an 18-year-old, fleeing a civil war in his home country. Mm. And he's taught me so much about what it means to know and love and trust Jesus as someone whom God has brought to London to serve the church alongside me.
That's really, really helpful. I can see a lot of how that applies to me as a pastor and how I can go about doing that and meeting with other leaders and through the London Project, for example. for the member of Hope Church or the member of Dundonald or the member of CCM or whoever else, any of our other churches and churches beyond the Co-Mission Network who will be listening, how would they go about doing that meeting? How do you meet Christians who are different to you from different denominations? What would your advice be?
Yeah, I think sometimes it can be in the workplace for very many of us that actually we discover people who are Christians, but who have a different tradition or different ethnicity and language. And rather than finding that a little scary or intimidating, actually to choose to take a step towards that other person and to try to just enter into conversation with them about their experiences of God and the church, maybe if they've come from another country into this country. I remember talking not very long ago with an Iranian background believer who was part of a network of Iranian churches in the city of London. And just learning what it is to be a believer who has come from a Muslim majority background just helped me to understand just the privilege I have enjoyed and experienced of growing up in a country where access to a Bible was normal, where you didn't live in fear of a knock on the door when you gathered to meet. And just to see their courage, their trust in the sovereignty and grace of God to protect them and keep them in difficult seasons and times, and what it was to live as a tiny minority in a culture which was very anti-Christianity. They just taught me, yeah, God cares for his people. God looks after his people. And I can trust God with my life because I'm getting to know this, as it was in that instance, this Iranian background believer who had had to really hold on to God in some very difficult seasons and trials. So just as if I meet with a Christian who suffered, maybe had cancer, for example, and they've got a lot to teach me about trusting God in uncertain times. So meeting a Christian from a different culture and background can be a real eye-opener and just remind me of what it is to know Jesus. So it can be the workplace. It can be within on my streets that there are other Christians who go to, I know they go to another church. Some of us even meet as churches in buildings where we know there are three other churches meeting in that building at different parts of the weekend. And those churches come and they go and they never mix and we don't know each other. So why not eat food together as a group of churches that share a same building and just share stories and learn from each other?
Thanks, Neil. That was like really encouraging and a great challenge for us to just open our eyes a little bit. It's so easy, isn't it, to see people who are Christians who are different to us and either question their faith or assume that it's not quite as legit as ours. And just I've been challenged recently reading through Romans sort of 12 to 15. That despite differences, Paul says, the people who do this, they do it in faith. They do it for the Lord. The people who do this, they do it for the Lord. We're so quick to judge other people's faith when they're kind of outworking of that is different to ours. And actually, we miss out on so much learning and so much growth and so much faith, in a sense, as we see other people's faith. So thank you for that. Really encouraging, really challenging to all of us. Tell us how we can be praying for you personally and for the London Project going forward. We love to end the podcast with a bit of time to encourage our listeners to pray. So they'll be doing this as they're listening. So tell them how we can be praying for you.
Thanks very much, Sam. It's been a real privilege to be part of this. Yeah, thank you for even asking and offering to pray. I think we're trying to, in this year, 2024, build key relationships between churches and leaders and networks that we have begun to investigate through 2023. So I said we met about 300 leaders. And if we've met them and loved meeting them, we now want to share those relationships across different networks and denominations so that we start to really meet each other. So we're actually holding a dinner in May where our aim is to bring together 400 leaders. Evangelical leaders from across the city of London, from every part of the world. And we have in mind that at one point in the evening, we're going to try to stand up and read Acts chapter 2 out loud together in our mother tongue. I don't know what that's going to feel like or look like. There'll be 50 nations and more there eating a meal together, making new friendships, And the idea is we'll look at each other in a sense and say, this is the church in London. Mm. This is whom God has brought here. Now, what might that mean for the future? And there's lots of unknowns. I think the London Project is and still feels very new. But we want to ask that the Lord would really guide us through that next phase of having met lots of leaders, of trying to bring them into relationship with each other, and then seeing what could come of this that would really unite, strengthen, and multiply the church in London. So that May event, we'd really covet your prayers and value your prayers, and that leaders in London would really take that opportunity and move forward in building new friendships and new partnerships. New churches will be planted. Churches will be healthier and stronger, we believe, as members of churches meet each other and get to know and trust that God is doing an extraordinary thing in this city and bringing the nations here. And, you know, it's our opportunity to show the world the power of the gospel, because we talk about Jesus to our neighbors and our friends, and our communities look at churches and they can't see Jesus, but they can see the power of the gospel at work in bringing strangers from all parts of the world together to be one family and one church in Christ. And that's the bit that they can see. And what we want them to say is, we've never seen this before. We've never seen the nations brought together like this in a city. And could we just begin to demonstrate the power of the gospel to break down those dividing walls and show Jesus is able to bring the whole world together into one family? And that's just a little anticipation, a foretaste of what he's going to do one day when he returns. Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, that's a great thing to pray for. To those listening, here's an encouragement. Maybe if you're listening and you're able to pause now and just spend some time praying for the London Project, for Neil, for that particular event, and pray for that wonderful picture that there might be there on that day that points us forward to that heavenly feast of all the nations, that we get a little window of that here in London, and that might be represented then from that point on all over London in all different churches, as churches work together for the sake of the gospel, for the glory of Jesus. Thanks again, Neil. Real privilege. Pause, pray, and then we'll wrap up later on.
Well, thanks, Sam. That was really an encouraging chat with Neil on that one.
Yeah, it was great. Really good guy. Really good guy.
I think a couple of the key takeaways for me in that one was the sort of gospel partnership thing. I mean, we talk about that a lot. And what does that look like in a city of 9 million people? Commission here, 30 churches. We're not the only ones doing church planting in London. We're not the only ones with gospel churches in London. And I find the really encouraging thing is that there is somebody that's looking to unite those leaders, at least in conversation.
Yeah, it was great to hear from Neil on this stuff. I think just really encouraging to hear how Neil and the London Project are engaging with gospel churches from all different backgrounds and cultures and denominations that would be very different to some of our churches, would be similar in other ways. And just stretches us, I think, encourages me as a pastor, I think encourages us as Christians, us as the church, us as a network, to be thinking about how we can partner with and relate to gospel churches around us who would be really different. So really exciting to hear about that and to see how Neil's seen that happen in Birmingham, to hear how he's been involved in planting churches across denominations, across different cultures and with different views on things. Exciting to see what that looks like now in London. London's bigger, different city to Birmingham, lots of ways. Yeah. It's a bigger challenge in many ways. Really exciting to think about what this might look like for networks like Commission as we start to engage as churches, not just with each other in our little bubble, though it's great and it's good and it's healthy that we have partnerships and we have networks where we're united on a whole load of stuff, but actually just looking up above ourselves a little bit, looking around, seeing what other amazing gospel things are going on in different cultures and different contexts, and getting excited about that and partnering with and praying for and relating to and learning from those guys. So yeah, just absolute gold. Really thankful for Neil, for Germa, for the guys at the London Project.
Yeah, amazing. I think, like you said, poking your head up a bit and seeing what the Big C Church in London is doing. So I think 9 million people is an overwhelming number.
Yeah.
And there's so much work to be done.
We can't do it on our own.
We can't do it on our own, but we can do some. And so faithfully doing our part But also I think it's a real benefit to be able to look around and see what some of the other gospel churches in London are doing. I remember back home in my city of about 40,000 people, my pastor had a regular meeting with other pastors of different denominations in the city to talk about the health and spiritual state of the city, exchange ideas, talk about how they're reaching into different communities, the struggles of certain communities and how they're addressing those from a spiritual or a practical way. I just think that that networking and that partnership around those things, you may not be going to each other's churches or holding some of the same beliefs, but there's a partnership in understanding you're trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to different people across the city, different cultures, and those will be shared in different ways and to learn from each other through that collaboration and partnership.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's more to learn. There's more to understand. There's more to pray for.
Yeah. So let's do that.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So if, yeah, I think we've prayed already in the podcast. We prayed earlier in the podcast, but yeah, pray again. Shall I pray?
Yeah, let's pray.
Father God, we just thank you and praise you for the many, many gospel churches already in London and for the many that you plan to plant through your people in the coming years. And Lord, we pray that this city in desperate need of salvation, in desperate need of rescue, in desperate need of forgiveness of sin, these people in this city will be reached not just by Commission, but by Commission and other faithful gospel churches as they go out. And Lord, we pray for the London Project. We pray for Neil, for Germa, for the rest of the team there, that their ministry would be fruitful and that they would see this city changed, that we would see this city changed, that the angelic hosts would see this city changed and delight in that. Lord, we just ask you to be kind to London and kind to the people of London. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, Sam. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Stay tuned for more. We'll see you next time.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.